The Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Keep that going, Gary.
We're talking the Papago Park Great Escape of 1944. Yes. 25 German POWs hand dig a 175-foot tunnel, 2.5 to 3 feet in diameter, through solid caliche. That's the most incredible. I mean, I've tried to dig a fence post in caliche,
and decided to move the fence.
And I decided to move that fence wasn't needed anyway.
After the escape was discovered, the U.S. Army came in to investigate how this could have happened, and so all of the American officers that were interrogated all said the same thing.
And real quick, describe the officers.
The American officers?
Yes.
Well, this was the first time in U.S. history that a large number of enemy prisoners of war had ever been brought to the United States, and so we really didn't have the experience on handling so many, and so a lot of these officers and the guards, these were men who were considered 4F. They were not considered eligible for any other combat or combat service. And so a lot of them went to military police school. And one of the guards that I interviewed, Larry Jorgensen, he had one eye. And he said all of the guards in his company had only one eye. And so they weren't the best of... of soldiers. The guarding was extremely lax. And what Rosie said just before the break is exactly true. All of these American officers who were interrogated after the escape was discovered all said, well, we knew they couldn't tunnel out because the camp is built on caliche. And when they had to dig leach fields or the posts for guard towers, they had to use explosives. And so they figured there's no way these Germans are going to be able to tunnel through this. And so that's why the guarding, even the admission of the guards that I interviewed said the guarding was extremely lax. There was no guarding on foot between the compounds. It was just from these various guard towers. So they picked a spot out of sight of the guard towers. The entrance to the tunnel was out in the open. It wasn't even inside of a building.
One-eyed guards that are hard of hearing, you know. What could go wrong?
And up in a guard tower in December in Phoenix, they were napping.
Yeah,
in a 50 to 70 degree weather with a cool breeze and a shade, they were napping.
Now, how long did it take to round up? Did we round up all 25? Did any of them make us a great escape?
No, none of them made it. There were, like I said, there were 25 who escaped. 7 turned themselves in almost immediately because there was a record rainfall that night and their rations had spoiled. So 7 of them were trying to make their way to the Tempe train station. Some of these guys, there was like a Kurt Mordieck, for example. Kurt had escaped 3 other times from Papago, so he knew the area well. He knew where the Tempe train station was. He knew where Sky Harbor was. He knew all the places to avoid. And when their rations spoiled, they turned themselves in to people living in the area around the train station. So these people got a knock on the door.
Oh, my goodness.
And here are Germans saying, you know, we, in their best English, we surrender. They would bring the people in, make them a meal, call the authorities, and then they would come and try to pick them up. Heinrich Palmer and Reinhard Mark made it the furthest of any of them. They made it within 2 miles of the Mexican border on foot, traveling at night in 10 days.
That's impressive.
They were in very good shape. They were both from a German raider called the Thor. So they were in very excellent condition. Hein was 24 years old, and he said that they conditioned themselves in the camp to make, you know, before the escape, to get themselves in better shape. What they needed
by digging through caliche.
Right.
Oh, holy cow.
But what they needed was unmarked clothing. All of their clothes had to be stenciled with the letters PW on their shirts, on their pants. And their clothing was inspected every week to make sure that they did not have any unmarked clothes. Well, the prisoners in Compound 2 provided unmarked clothing for them by washing out this paint. And then they would attach these civilian clothes to a broomstick, and they made a bow out of a 2x4 and launched it over the fence dividing the two compounds. So when they escaped, they were wearing their PW-marked clothes. Once they got out of sight of the camp and the rain stopped, they changed into their unmarked clothes. But to pass inspection, they took their unmarked clothes and used toothpaste to put the letters PW on so they could easily wash that out with water once they were ready.
Wow. I was going to make a bad joke. If they had two eyes, if the guards had two eyes, they might have noticed it was toothpaste.
Now,
must lose some kind of dimensional aspect with only one.
So how long did it take authorities to round up all 25? They weren't rounded up as a group of 25. Seven turned themselves in. Two almost made it to Mexico. Several of them lived in tunnels right at Papago Park for a couple nights, didn't they?
There were three of them. Captain Vattenberg, who was the senior German officer of the camp, he was a submarine captain. He and two of his crewmen, Walter Kozier and Johann Kramer, they actually just stayed in a cave in Piestewa Peak for the entire time. Johann and Walter even walked into Phoenix several times, and they had a beer at a bowling alley on 7th Avenue. And they stole newspapers to bring back to Vattenberg, who could read English, to see how the escape was going. And then on the way back, as they passed through the orchards, they would steal citrus fruits like oranges and grapefruit to bring back. Walter and Johann were captured one time while they were walking into Phoenix. And Vattenberg was captured. He was the last one to be captured in February. So this is December 23rd to roughly February 3rd is the time that the prisoners were out. Vattenberg decided to try and hop a train to California. And so he, in the early hours of the morning, he walked into downtown Phoenix and asked a street worker where the train station was. And the worker noticed his slight German accent. So he alerted a Phoenix policeman. Phoenix policeman went and questioned him, and then Vattenberg turned himself in. Now, one of the reasons why the Germans had no problem with escaping is they knew they would not be severely punished afterwards. All they got was 2 weeks on bread and water, and that was it. So what Vattenberg did—
Were they put back at the Papago POW camp?
Yes, and the ironic thing is Compound 1A, where they escaped from, this was the compound that they put all of the escape artists from other camps from other states.
Wow.
So Vattenberg and others, Hans Werner Krauss, who was another sub-captain who I interviewed, these were all guys that the Americans labeled the so-called troublemakers. These were habitual escapees. They put them all in the same compound, and that's where they escaped from. And so when Vattenberg was going back to Papago, he knew he was going to be on bread and water. He didn't like that. So he told the authorities that he had hurt his leg coming down from the mountain so that they would put him in the hospital where he would get better food and even ice cream.
Oh, man.
And two really funny stories that come out of this is, one, 25 German POWs escape. In the 40s, it's not like news and TV and radio are what they are today, and social media. But still, I mean, the paper was very popular. Arizona Republic, front page headline news, 25 escapees. It was on page 6.
The citizens of Phoenix that I interviewed, I asked them, were you scared? Were you? And they said, no, we had seen these guys on a regular basis. They worked outside the camp. They worked for Salt River Project. They worked picking cotton. One of the submariners, Joseph Moore, was a gardener at the Biltmore, for instance. They said they were an everyday sight in the valley. So, and they knew that they were just young boys, and they didn't fear them. But there was some people in the media, like Walter Winchell. Walter Winchell was a famous radio. He had a sensationalistic radio show, and he was also a syndicated columnist. He really stirred up the pot. He said to the people of Phoenix, lock your doors. These vicious Nazis are going to kill you in the middle of the night and this sort of thing. And the public, at least the ones that I talked to, didn't buy any of that.
You know who was most endangered, it sounded like, in all of this? When they were searching for the escapees, and they went to arrest the Boy Scout troop.
This is one of my favorite
Oops.
Favorite stories.
Wrong uniform.
they were being spotted everywhere. But the Americans wanted to do their part in rounding them up. And so I include in my book articles like there was a Boy Scout troop, and I think near San Diego, they were all marching in their brown uniforms, and they were spotted and they were called in as they found the escaped prisoners. But one of my favorite stories is from a guy named George Spears. He was a high school student in Winslow at the time. And he and his buddy named Ed Singer were in a basketball tournament in Flagstaff, and they had got eliminated immediately. And they were wearing their Winslow High School letter sweaters standing on the train platform in Flagstaff. And he said this elderly Flagstaff policeman came up to them and said, "What are you guys doing?" And George said they had been taking German in high school, and so they answered, "Was ist los?" which means, what's up? What's going on? He said this cop pulled out his gun immediately, aimed at him, and says, "Get in this car right now. I'm taking you both in." So they got in this car, and George says there was no screen between the front and back seats. So the guy was driving with one hand, and he had his gun on them the whole time. They brought him into the Flagstaff police station, and the cop came in and said, "I got two of those Germans. They spoke German to me." And the police chief just started laughing and said, "Okay, I'll handle this." And George said to the police chief, "You know, my dad is the editor of the Winslow Mail." He says, "This is going to make a funny story, the efficiency of the Flagstaff police." And the police chief said, "Look, kid, if I give you two guys a ride back to Winslow, will you not say anything about it?" And so he promised that when he got back, and so he didn't. He never told his dad about it until years and years later.
We're talking about the great Papago escape. 25 German prisoners of war escaped from a prisoner of war camp that was built where Papago Park currently is. Steve, you give presentations on this subject.
Oh, yes.
How would people get a hold of you?
I've been speaking on this for 25 plus years. If anybody there listening has a civic organization or a group that you'd like me to come and do a presentation free of charge, you can give me a call at work. My number is 480-362-6342. And I'd be more than happy to come out and speak to you.
And where could somebody get a copy of this book?
Well, it's out of print, but usually when I do my presentations, I will run some off on my computer and I will have them available.
Can I see the tunnel today?
No.
They dug? I still can't believe they dug it. I think they walked through the fence.
to give the listeners an idea of where the camp was, it's just north of where the Phoenix Zoo is. So the geographic boundaries of the camp was between Thomas Road and McDowell Road and Barnes Butte and the Crosscut Canal. So 64th Street runs right through the middle of where the camp used to be. So the tunnel actually came out on the east side of the camp, right on the bank of the Arizona Crosscut Canal. The Army Corps of Engineers blew the tunnel up, but in order to raise money for the war effort, the people who lived in the area were allowed to come and look down the tunnel if they bought a $25 war bond.
Oh, that's a great story.
I will mention there is a marker where the escape tunnel
goes. Is there?
There is a marker. It's right there along the bike path. Just a little bit off Oak Street. And I run by it just virtually every day. They put that marker down that the actual point where the escape tunnel went into the Crosscut.
What a hoot. I knew this story, but not to this detail.